My name is Andre Whitehead. For 15 years, I have grown the brand of Tennessee Prep Hoops. Now, with the assistance of Brent Watts, we bring to you Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. All right, welcome to Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, sport here at Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, sponsored by Southland Realtors. Here with me, this is Andre Whitehead, Brent Watts, our producer Seth Stokes.
I'm here as usual.
You are here.
Mr. Reliability.
I can't say nothing. You've been here.
No, he's done a good job.
Last few times, so.
It's been a nice change.
Can't complain.
He's coachable.
Well, I think moving the...
he dedicated himself.
Going to two every other week is a great idea.
I'm here to keep you motivated and keep you organized.
There he goes.
That didn't take long.
I ain't going to take the bait.
That didn't take
long. That's not baiting.
It's like a battle of wits with another
Seth, am I baiting him? That's not bait.
I mean, you kind of are trying to bait
he did get me as soon as I walked into the gym, and there's some actual fans of the show. Like, you guys sounded like you were really into it. And, I diffused all rumors right then and there.
He didn't.
I didn't egg it on.
You heard him utter a cuss word as you walked away.
So
that guy's
egged it on.
I didn't egg it on. I didn't fuel the fire. I'd never do that. Never pour gas on it.
I've seen you do a little rain dance to put it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Of course he did a rain dance.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, I should probably go perform tonight. It is the 14th, isn't it?
The 14th, what does that mean?
There's some mail review in town from Vegas. I'm surprised they haven't called yet.
I'm scared that you know that.
I heard it on the radio. But
yeah, whatever. I listened to the radio all day.
I'm surprised they haven't called for me to perform. I'm kind of hurt a little.
Up afterwards.
I'm kind of hurt.
I mean, why's janitorial service?
I don't put in this many hours at the gym, you know, for nothing. Having too much fun. Speaking of, Saturday was fun. Or Sunday.
Considering we didn't play on Saturday.
We did not, but
he had fun watching the Battle of Bristol. That's what it was.
Yeah, I did have fun with that. But no, Sunday was fun.
Hey, if Tennessee can get the other team to lay the ball down seven times, they can go undefeated.
It helps. Turnovers, five fumbles help.
Turnovers lose games.
Yes, they do.
I knew this was coming. I actually was sitting with Cole Rose Sunday during the fall league games, and I looked at him about halftime, and I said, "If Watson wins this game, we're going to have to hear about this."
I haven't said a word about it
for the next 3 weeks. Not yet, but we're about to.
I brought it up.
We're about to.
Wait, no, I did say something
about it.
I
can look at your face and tell that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I do want to talk about it some. Yeah.
Surprised he hadn't had,
get it out.
Didn't have the box score printed on his shirt.
The only thing that I have that is non-trash talking about it is I got a lot of respect for the other coach because he had 10 guys there. He played a platooning system, two groups of five, and when it got late, he stuck true to the platoon system and then starts subbing. So that it is a fall league. It's about learning. He didn't switch it up and give one guy more playing time. So that's what I really have to say about it. And the fact that we only had five guys and the guys went the whole game and they played hard and they listened well. It was actually
– You got down early.
Yeah, we did because they were pressing. I don't know why he stopped. That's what let us get back in it. But I got a lot of respect for him for sticking with that platooning system because it is a fall league. So that's what I have to say about it. That's not what you thought I was going to say, did you?
Not at all. I mean, I know you, so
yeah.
No, there's nothing remotely about what you said that I thought you would. I mean, you know, respecting the other coach, that's, you know, you're not an awful person, but it's
like a lot of coach speak to me.
Yeah,
though.
That's okay. I mean, I understand that, but I'm just waiting for the self braggadocious, all that guy to come. I'm
braggadocious.
That's going to happen here.
The fact
minute,
that once I got the guys listening to me, that's when we started making a comeback.
Is that when it was,
thinking,
or when the guys started listening to Luke?
No, I don't let Luke talk.
When Luke kind of took over.
I don't let him talk. Luke's there for aesthetics only. He knows he's beautiful.
Did you get unseated?
No.
Yeah. Yes,
no.
He did.
He's not. Luke knows he's not a talker.
He never even stood up.
He's pretty. I stood up.
Did you get Bud Kilmer?
No, I did stand up.
I didn't get Bud Kilmer.
Exactly.
You got Bud Kilmer.
I stood up like nine times to get Gatorade. See, he didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Seriously. Cole Rose texted me after the game. Hey, man, you got Luke's number? No, Cole. I don't. I mean, I might for $1,500. These handlers out there, you know. I mean, why can't every player have a handler?
Well, that was a good day. We only have one undefeated team left.
Team Lane.
That's yep. right. And the Oak Ridge guys, this was the first week all three of them came to play. They only had five guys, too. We had it was a weird weekend. You know, we switched to Sunday because Saturday was an ACT day. And last time ACT day, there was a lot of guys missing. Well, Sunday, there were some guys missing, too, for some reasons. And one of them, I still don't get it. They had a football game Saturday night, and they couldn't make the game Sunday. I don't get it.
Well, one of them
I don't
was
care
traffic.
Where it was. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, guys were
– and then they're going to call 3 months from now and saying, how come no one's recruiting me? Well, I don't know. The seven coaches that were in the gym Sunday, you weren't there because you went to a football game that you're not even playing in.
Foosball.
And couldn't make it back the next day, and your game was at 2 o'clock.
Playing the foosball behind my
back. Playing the foosball.
I'm sorry. That blew
out. Watching the foosball.
Okay, so, yeah, it was – maybe it's just me that I'm not – I'm Lee Humphrey wouldn't have missed a game. Dane Bradshaw wouldn't have missed a game.
Let's go back to the Lee Humphrey wouldn't have missed a game.
Dane Bradshaw wouldn't miss a game either.
You know.
I wouldn't have missed a game.
Well, no. You grew up in Indiana.
Because ball is life.
Well, still. I mean, understand. I don't
know. If you look at the cost of inflation over the past 20 years, it's more than doubled. And, if somebody's willing to pay for all of your college.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is play basketball. I know these guys complain about not getting paid, et cetera, but of the 450,000 NCAA athletes, 99% of them would just like a full scholarship.
I mean, there was little. I mean, we literally had seven coaches there Sunday. Sunday.
I saw some very attractive gentlemen, like Chuck Benson was in the gym.
You have a very
sounds creepy.
I know. Like, fascination.
I've lost
with
that thing. I've lost
How do you
that
do
touch,
that?
Man. The coach, the
Tusculum was there. Milligan was there. Lee was there.
Merville didn't show.
Merville wasn't there.
All right, shameless ratings plug. Alan Holt with Rhone State was there.
Rhone State, yep. Why do I think there was somebody else? I can't remember. But anyway, that's still a good group of coaches were in the gym Sunday to watch and, you know, some guys missed out on some chances, I guarantee it. So, but
Luke Smith didn't.
Luke Smith didn't, no. And there was quite a few guys that had good. Tajon Jones from Oak Ridge had 40.
Cole Rose noticed that.
Yep. And how about Chase Ridenour? And Miles Raznick. They combined for 60.
Hold on. Did somebody have 56 and somebody have 4?
No.
Because
and somebody had 28.
Okay. That's why I always combined. Like if somebody had 56 and I had 4, but we combined for 60, you know.
Always thinking.
Is my math correct, Seth?
Technically, your math is correct, but it's a misleading stat. Like that's one of those twisting stats to make
are you
it
calling
like,
me,
suit your here, agenda.
Are you calling
Ernie
me a politician?
I am.
Ernie Grunfeld said, you know, remember when Bernard King went through that stretch there when he was scoring like 50 a game?
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie Grunfeld, and then when Ernie went back to the Knicks and he said, it's just like our days at Tennessee where me and Bernard were combining for 50 a game. And Bernard had 50 and he had 0. But in college they were even, but it was,
right.
That was pretty, I thought that was pretty, that was
that's
comical,
awesome.
So. But no, it was, Halston's team, the only undefeated team left because Cameron's team. Went down. Feltner, we had look at the scores of the games, 84 to 82, 60 to 58, 73-71, and 68-62. We only had two games that got a little bit out of hand.
Whoever split these teams up is very knowledgeable about the talent and very organized.
Well, God. I have never seen the biggest suck-up I've ever seen in my life. You listening to this, Seth?
I tune him out half the time.
Oh, you got your text.
Yeah, when you told me you had to tell me I got a text from you, like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But now the standings are very interesting right now. In the we named our division. We always name our divisions after Tennessee players.
Oh, okay.
This year we have the Stokes division and McCray division. So.
Thank you for naming a division after me.
Oh, that's right.
I appreciate that. I didn't play at Tennessee, but I appreciate that.
That was me. I named it Stokes.
Yeah. I mean, he's my cousin and all.
That's our smaller division.
Yeah, I am shorter.
JV division.
You know, I'll take whatever I can get.
But actually, we have a three-way tie for first in the Stokes division. O'Hara 3-1, Sharp 3-1, Feltner 3-1. And then Halston leads the McCray division at 4-0, and then Watts and Coward are 3-1, which you have the tiebreaker because you beat him head-to-head unless something, you know, this week. Not this weekend. This weekend, the 17th, we're at Carson Newman for a showcase, and we're at capacity, 120 strong. So
sweet.
Excited about that.
What coaches are confirmed other than the usual?
Who knows? A lot of guys say they're going to come. Yeah. I just kind of, you know, I send it out to everybody, and whoever comes, you know. It'll be the usual groups that, you know, that
Chuck
always
Chuck Benson
come.
Will be there.
Chuck will be there.
Looking amazing.
Yeah. So, it'll have the same. I know
so
Cole
weird.
Said he was coming, and I'm sure, I think, not Raul, but one of the new guys. What's his name?
I forget. The new guy.
Yeah, he's going to actually do a station for me, so.
Okay. He's a good dude.
While he's a new guy, does his name really even matter until he establishes himself?
Until we get dirt on him.
Redding?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Until we get dirt on him. I mean, if we can't leverage him, we don't need him. You know,
he's not worth remembering.
I mean,
no offense to the guy. I'm sure he's a great guy,
unless,
but you know,
unless we can make him do things that we need done.
Like I could see him walking up and Andre saying, "What's your name again?" And he starts to tell him, and then Andre just pulls a rock and tell him it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Nice shirt though. I like the Power M. Yeah, good.
Like the oh, by the way, AJ Styles is the new SmackDown.
By the way, did you notice that CM Punk? I don't know how he's going to fulfill how he's going to fulfill, because it's like a 3-match contract. I mean, he signed up for 90 seconds of just beatdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not dishing it out.
Like, that boy beat the brakes off of him for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
Dude, like,
Punk came in, like, I will give this to Punk. He started out as the aggressor. He did not back up at all. He came at old boy, and old boy took one step back, and then it was off to the races. And as soon as Punk hit the ground, boy was on top of him and literally didn't try to he tried to put him in submission twice before he got him to submit. But the rest of the time, it was a minute and a half of the dude just walloping Punk in the side.
Well,
of the
Punk
head.
Has no wrestling background.
None.
Other than entertain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't a college All-American.
So as soon as he got taken down, he was done. He had no idea what he was doing. Yeah. He just laid there.
You know who I
want
to see in the octagon? Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow get his butt whipped. He just big. That's all. Tim Tebow would get hit.
You just crossed the line. You're a line stepper now.
He's probably not going to make it home.
No.
No.
Yes.
Look, I respect Tim Tebow and this whole baseball thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome what he's doing. It's cool that he's not afraid of failure. And that he's showing
people. He's got
people
a desire to compete while he's still.
Right.
And
you know, if he wanted
to
step into the octagon, I would pay to see him get his ass whipped.
Did you watch any games Sunday?
But what, NFL games?
Yeah, any NFL games.
Oh, yeah, watch as many as I could.
Somebody not give him a chance.
Because he's terrible.
Yeah, but did you see some of the.
He's got a playoff win.
Have you seen.
These other bums don't.
Have you seen.
They're signing.
Stop.
He's got the same amount of playoff wins that Tony Romo does.
Yeah, yes. Well, he's a better investment than Tony Romo.
He's played it more playoff games
signing,
than Tony Romo has.
They're
Romo's
signing
healthy.
Mark Sanchez.
Case Keenum
at least
started.
Here's the thing. Keenum can actually throw the ball. Tebow can't throw.
But he can run. Sanchez can't even run. Romo can't run.
Romo's
like
RG3 got hurt again.
Imagine
that.
Surprise. Dak Prescott's going to be really good for the Cowboys.
By the way, yes.
I hope so, because he's my.
He'll be good.
He's my fantasy, my second quarterback. My second. I have Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was the number one scorer this week.
This week? Just wait till he starts throwing picks again.
Oh, my God.
2 years ago, he was the number one player in the league. So
yeah. Well,
he was hurt last year.
Oh, okay.
And I won this week.
How did these guys get
And I got Jimmy Garoppolo for, or Janine Garofalo for.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
For three games. Right. And then I got Prescott.
There's no chance of you winning your fantasy football league, so let's get back to basketball, because you're just not going to win it.
Anyways.
Now I'm going to win just
you
despite
are, just
him.
Despite. He's going to do all the research.
He's going to get right to the end and make one bad decision, pushing it too hard to try and show
I already made a bad decision. Thursday night, right before the game started. I mean, 30 seconds before kickoff, I took Kelvin Benjamin out because I thought Denver's defense is pretty good. They'll probably key on him and put in Tyler Lockett.
When you're that big,
and
you're gonna make
Benjamin
plays.
Gets 21 points. Yeah, but I That's won anyway. Does. So, but anyway,
congratulations.
All right. Well, back to the fall league. It's been, like I said, man, the game. I've been proud that the games have been close. Most every game has been close. The only time games are not close is when kids don't show up. Everybody's done a real good job of showing up, even the team from the Tri-Cities, even though a couple guys got there a little late, they still had seven guys.
Well, they have a legit excuse because all that traffic had a, coming back from Bristol, the guys out of the Tri-Cities, they don't have a choice, you know.
It was the next day.
I know. Traffic was backed up like crazy coming to Knoxville on Sunday. Traffic was backed up from Bristol to exit 4 on I-81. That's basically the split. So, I mean, the kids that are coming from the Tri-Cities don't have a choice. They have to deal with that traffic. But the kids that didn't show because of football, I mean, I get
well,
it.
Well, that's the thing. The kids from the Tri-Cities came.
Yeah.
They made it.
Yeah.
They were at the games. The kids from Knoxville, your school, didn't make it.
I know.
When coach is there to see them.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. So. It's scary that you're preaching, but how did I end up in the choir?
So,
what about Nashville? Did Nashville play this week?
We did not. We took off and then took a 2-week hiatus. Start back on the 24th.
Okay.
Which I'll be up there for the 24th. So you'll have to. Well, I always say you'll have. You don't ever. You show up for your game and then you leave. I know you have seven kids to take care of, but
allegedly,
Tay-Tay'll take care of it. Because I won't be able to be there.
You'll hear it one time, but I do have my six-year-old. I'll get him going sometimes in public. I'll have him call me allegedly daddy. It's so awesome. He loves it, too. My wife doesn't like it. He looks just like me, too.
That is hilarious. Yeah, allegedly daddy.
What's my name? Dad. What's your name? What's my name? Brent. What's my real name? Allegedly daddy.
That's great.
That is funny.
You jokester.
That was great.
I enjoy having fun. Well, I got to announce publicly that Maryville College is now closing their practices as well to NBA teams, but they are going to have a pro day. They're going to follow Duke. They're going to be a fast follower. What do you think about that?
They're what? Closing their practices?
Yeah, to NBA scouts. So they're just going to have their pro day before the season and after the season, but their practices will actually be closed to NBA teams. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's what Coach Krzyzewski announced today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So Lambert's obviously a great mind as well. He wanted to be a fast follower on that announcement.
That's funny.
So thought I'd throw that out there.
So Krzyzewski's closing press. So well, let's. Let's go ahead and bring this first segment to an end. And coming up, we have an interview with a very, very interesting topic, very interesting subject. Josh Templeton out of the Chattanooga area. He was a head coach in a high school in Memphis. He was assistant coach at Lee for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He knows big friends with Cole Rose, who we talk of, played at Tennessee Temple. He just wrote a book about basketball and relationships, and we're going to have him on there to talk about his book. It's going to be real interesting. So when we come back in our Kelly Chiropractic interview segment, this is Andre Whitehead, Sports Radio 1180, the BLT.
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter, Rocky Top Insider Radio, the Dave Hooker Show, and more. Sports talk around the clock, sun up to sundown, and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on the way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months. I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PVA and helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hey, my man, it's been a long time. How you doing? I heard you had another baby.
Number two, man, I got to figure all this out. We got to find a house. Where do I find a realtor? Do I have to get the title company? Who can help with the insurance? What?
I think, my friend, I have a solution to your problem.
Dude, please don't be joking.
I will not joke with you. Southland Companies features Southland Brokers, Southland Realtors, Southland Title Company, Southland Properties. There is no question, no scenario, or any transaction Southland can't handle. Accountability, trustworthiness, and consistency during every step of the transition. Experts in every field of real estate all under one roof. They have buyer reps, listing agents, land experts, leasing agents, property managers, rental experts, mortgage lenders, title associates. No excuses, just people doing their job. Everything under one roof. What do you think of that?
So basically all I got to do is make one phone call and I can get answers to all these questions?
You pick up the phone. You call 865-693-6961. Call Southland Realtors, and they will take care of your problems. Southland is your one-stop shop for all your real estate needs. They are located at 244 North Peters Road in Knoxville, or you can also get them at asouthlandcompany.com, and they can take care of all your issues and all your problems all under one roof. And that should ease your mind.
That's the best information I've heard all day.
Well, go talk to somebody who is the best at what they do. Southland Companies. That's 865-693-6961. Southland Realtors. Southland is your one-stop shop for all your real estate needs. This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you? Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Okay, we are back here at Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, sponsored by Southland Realtors. Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, and on the phone with us right now from the Chattanooga area, Josh Templeton. How you doing, Josh?
Doing great, Andre. Thank you.
Oh, great to have you, man. We wanted to get Josh, man. I've been seeing on Facebook, and then your buddy Cole Rose been telling us about a book that you wrote, and then I went back and kind of researched your history a little bit. I knew who you were, and I knew you'd been a coach at Lee, and we've met many times before. You were a high school coach in the Memphis area at St. Benedict, done some stuff with some some point guard college and some camps, and doing some stuff in Chattanooga now. And you played at Tennessee Temple, and your book really just caught my eye with an interesting title, which is "I played for my dad for 9 years, and we still talk." And then you're like, "How do you play for a coach for 9 years?" So we'll get into how that happened. It's a very interesting story, but just wanted to welcome you and look forward to talking a little bit about basketball and tell us about yourself a little bit.
I appreciate it, Andre, and it's an honor to be on the show. Well, I played for my dad for 9 years, and we still talk. The concept, I felt a deep burden for the state of sports parenting this day and age. A lot of us, I mean, this is my generation, too. It's our first go as being a parent and a sports parent. And so there's not a whole lot of information out there helping people to kind of navigate the waters and do what's best for the kid and nurture an environment, you know, a kid that enjoys the game, just really has a lot of fun. And I think that's when real true development happens. So I started thinking about my process of playing for my dad and growing up a coach's son and the things that he did that created a player that just had a true love for the game. And so that kind of burdened me to want to write the story. And I'm not trying to sell a self-help book or write a self-help book for anybody. I ain't going to tell you how to raise your kids, but I want to tell you a story. And a story that ended up with a passionate player and a dad and son who still had a relationship after 9 years, which is kind of crazy in this world.
But, tell us a little bit about that journey. Just to kind of cut to the chase, obviously you played for your dad in high school and college and had a lot of success doing that. Start us when you were really, really young, when it first started out, when he first started coaching you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I was really young, he did something super unique, and I elaborate on this in the book. He knew he was a high school coach. I was going to play for him eventually. So he delegated, he found experts around the city and delegated a lot of my coaching at a young age to a shooting expert or whatever. And first of all, like before that even happened, he never really forced the game on me. He let me come to it when I came to him and said I wanted to play or I wanted to try it. And obviously I was around it a lot just because being a son of a coach. And he kind of let me come at it at my own pace. You know, he wasn't having me in the drills doing ball handling drills to have this child hoop prodigy that would boost his ego, you know? Yeah, he just let me come to it when I thought it would be fun. So I did. And then he hired people to coach me because I think he kind of knew deep down in his heart that if he was going to coach me well in high school, we didn't need to be sick of each other and ready to kill each other by my sophomore year. So it wasn't in my face a lot. So he did that, and I kept getting good, and I started loving the process of getting better, and I figured out this really kind of elusive secret of the game that making shots is a ridiculous amount of fun. So that was kind of that's something that people don't realize a lot. You want to have the most fun playing basketball, become a great shooter. And that, you know, he hired somebody to help me get to that point, and I just started loving the game more and more and more and started tasting more success and everything else. So when I was in eighth grade, they moved me up to JV, and I played on the JV team, and we were a small school, you know, Tennessee Temple High School. We had like 30 kids per graduating class, so it was a little school playing in single A, and he was the JV and the varsity coach. So I started playing for him there. So then played 5 years for him. We had an amazing run in high school. Ended up going to the state championship, losing by two in double overtime in 98. And then had another 27-win season my senior year. And I got nominated for Mr. Basketball and first team all state and had a really good career. And then when I graduated, I'd verbally committed to Lipscomb. But Don Meyer had stepped down, and they decided to go Division One. And as you guys can probably imagine, Division One don't have much use for a 5'9", 150-pound point guard.
Yeah, let's since the movie just came out, they decided to go Division One. Then he stepped down. Don Meyer didn't want to be a part of that transition.
That was part of the deal.
That was something that I was going to bring up was. When I was going, I went 4 years to the Don Meyer basketball camp at Lipscomb. And part of the time I was there, the coolest counselor and one of the best players there was Jerry Meyer, Don's son.
Yeah,
and
then
he ended up transferring. He left. He and his father had a falling out. I think Jerry got in trouble or something at school. I don't know the full, I'm sure the movie has it. But he had some insane amount of assists in his career, all-time career assist leader in the NAIA, but his father and him kind of had a falling out, which led to Jerry transferring. But I was going to ask you specifically, talk to me a little bit about the recruiting process when your father is the coach, because, you know, he obviously he's got a vested interest in you getting a scholarship, so he doesn't have to pay for your college, but, you know, he's also got relationships, you know, in the industry that he works in. So how did the recruiting process go for you?
You know, I never really focused on the end result. I had it as a goal, obviously. I wanted to play in college, and I loved playing the game so much that it would grieve my heart to know that my career would end in high school. Like, I just wanted to keep playing, not for the ego or for the scholar, tell people I got a scholarship. I just wanted to play more basketball. And we never really discussed it much. I mean, I didn't play much AAU. I just worked on my game. And, you know, my dad's whole thing was, Josh, what do you want out of basketball? And my answer was always, I want to be really good. And he would follow that up with, like, how good? Well, I want to be the best I can possibly be. And he would say, okay, well, here's what you need to do to get there. And it was a constant process of skill mastery. Then add something to your game every summer, or two things to your game every summer. And it was always focused on getting better every day. And we didn't really focus on the end. And even though I had a great career in high school, and, I mean, my senior year, being up for Mr. Basketball was a big deal. And even my junior year, getting to play in on that stage, my body and my size, it didn't really, like, college coaches weren't beating my door down. My dad didn't bring it up, you know. Like, I was 145 pounds when I graduated high school. So it wasn't like, he didn't really talk about it too much. He just kept focusing on the process. And the thing about his program was, and I elaborate on this quite a bit in the book, like, my career never trumped our team goals, you know. And there's even moments that I had, it's like, yeah, if I could have had averaged 30 a game, yeah, maybe I could have gotten a college scholarship. But I was a point guard, and I was going to run the team. I had to make my teammates better. And that was always a focus for us, being a complete player, being as good as I could possibly be, and making myself into a college player. And his philosophy was, whether the college scholarship came or not, because that was the thing, ability doesn't always equal opportunity. But if you have the ability, you can go make your own opportunity. And before I got offered anything from, you know, Lipscomb or anything, my original plan was, hey, I don't care if I get an offer or not. I'm going to go walk on somewhere, earn a spot. I'll earn a spot. I'll get good. And that was kind of our thing. And then once Lipscomb pulled out, I was stressed out. I mean, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I guess I got to try to find a place, see who will take me. And then Tennessee Temple coach Rick Johnson resigned, and they offered my dad the job. And it was like, he was like, well, I want you over here. So I was like, okay. Long story short, we had 95 wins, and I ended up scoring over 2,000 points and set the school record for assists, and we won the national championship my senior year and had a great run.
That's more points than Watts scored in college, so that's
yes,
awesome.
But we've documented many times I was held back by two All-Americans, three, that wouldn't give me the ball every possession. See, like Josh just mentioned, he was worried about his teammates. I was never worried about my teammates. So, speaking of teammates, I bet he had Keith Galloway on his team, too.
Keith Galloway actually transferred from UTC and played with us my senior year at Tennessee Temple when we
Keith's
won the national championship.
CJ,
yeah.
I know
dude,
all things about
teammate.
Small college basketball.
Great.
Yes,
teammate.
I play with him every year in the Cedar Springs League.
That you get kicked, he tell you he gets kicked out of every league he plays in?
I do not. I had a monster dunk this year.
You know, it's interesting you guys talked about Don Meyer and Jerry having kind of a falling out.
We talk about Don Meyer like just about every week. Yeah. Man. He's one of our idols.
I've yet to see the movie, and I'm ashamed to admit that.
I didn't even know they have a movie, so I'm even more ashamed than you.
Oh, really? Yeah.
You didn't even know about the movie?
Because we were talking about –
hang up.
We were talking about like, who was going to play him, and you know, if we were in the
Judge
movie, who would play
Reinhold?
Us. That's who's playing him.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you think you like if they have like stuff from the camp in the movie, who would play you?
Oh, that's easy. It's ooh. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my God!
I mean, what? It's a dead ringer. Yeah. Why?
If you want to play me, you have to just go pick some random jockey.
See,
like,
this
jockey is like 5'6".
No, don't.
5'6", 100 pounds.
Don't sell yourself short. Trust me, on this show, when they if they have any time to tear anyone else down, they'll get you. You got to watch this too. So, how many years did you go to Lipscomb's camp?
I went, and that was, you know, and he was always sending me around. You know, like Lipscomb was one of the first skill camps. He did his research. He's like, who's the best? Send him to Lipscomb. So I would go. I went. Starting in the fifth grade, I went, and all the way up until, I guess that would be four straight years, and during those years, too, I also went to Point Guard College with Vic DiVincenzo, the original founder, mm-hmm. played at Duke, and that was an amazing experience. I mean, to open my mind to thinking outside the box and really the cerebral side of the game. I don't know if you guys remember, but St. Anthony's came down and played Temple, Tennessee Temple High School, Bob Hurley's team up in Jersey City.
Oh, no, I did not know that. When was this?
This was when I was in seventh grade. I guess it would be about 93, 94,
something
like that.
Was that with Bobby Hurley? Or?
No, Bobby was right after he graduated from Duke.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So was Danny playing? And
no, Danny was not.
He was at Seton Hall already.
Oh, wait. No,
So Danny was at Seton Hall. Bobby was in the NBA, and Bobby had gotten in a brutal motorcycle accident.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
That was the same year, and St. Anthony came down. I guess they were number one in the country, and they couldn't find no games. And Dad just was like, hey, this would be great for Chattanooga basketball. We'll give them a call, see if it happens. Fundraiser, pay for everything. So Howard plays Macaulay, and in the preliminary, St. Anthony plays Temple in the main event. And it was an unbelievable experience. And I was seventh grader, and Bob had me practice with the team the next morning. And he ended up flying up to their camp, Portsmouth, in Rhode Island, Bob Hurley's basketball camp. So Dad got to spend a week with him picking his brain, and I got to watch Bobby work out, trying to get his body back from the motorcycle accident and for his NBA comeback. And watching him work out was like mind-blowing, like, oh my gosh, this guy's on a whole nother planet. It was great for my development. So I just got to, you know, just be in some really unique situations, be coached by some of the best minds out there, and it was such an advantage. So, you know, I'm wanting to kind of give that back now, bring some of that to Chattanooga, and help kids get better every day.
So talk about the college experience. The college experience is always different. It's a different relationship between player and coach than high school, obviously. It's a different relationship between teammates because you haven't grown up together yet. You're still young, and you have to blend quickly. And there's it's just different when your dad's the coach. It's different, especially
it's
at the
totally
collegiate
different.
Level. And it's always viewed in a certain light. So, you know, how did you guys handle it? I'm sure there were people that thought that you played point guard because you were the coach's kid. And, you know, obviously with as many points as you scored, that's got to be a little bit different. But, you know, tell me about that.
Well, fortunately, and it's really hard. A lot of people have a hard time with it if the coach's kid isn't one of the best players on the team. And Dad's thing with me was always make it obvious. And he told me even going in, I was in the ninth grade, and he's like, look, if it's not obvious, the benefit of the doubt, if you're a little bit better than somebody, you're not going to be starting. That's just how it is. That's how it has to be, and that's good for you. Is that unfair?
Oh,
I'm not worried
about
that.
I love that analogy. I think that's great. You make it so obvious that anybody who has a question, well, I mean, my God, he's the best player, regardless if his dad's the coach or not.
Yeah.
And it was communicated to me. So, like, I knew that going in, and I liked that. Like, I was serious about getting better, and I wanted it to be obvious. And I liked the fact that he was like, you know what, I'm human. I ain't giving nobody any fuel for the fire, and I might be hard on you sometimes. Because you're my kid. I'm not trying to be. But when we got in that car every day on the way home or at home watching college basketball, hanging out, we never talked about, he never critiqued my game. He wasn't coach in the car, coach at home. He was dad every single time. Like, there wasn't one time that I remember him, like, getting after me or coaching me. It stayed in the gym all the time. And we watched ball at home, talked ball and stuff like that. But it was, like, indirect coaching. I didn't even realize I was being coached. We were just having a fun time watching games because we liked basketball, you know? That was a great experience. Now, in college, things got a lot different as far as I can see where Jerry and Meyer and Don Meyer could have an issue here is what happens when a boy becomes a man, and the boy's already a type A, you know, kind of like if he's got that kind of motor and grit to him, is the headbutts get a little bit more common. And the boy that was a boy that used to just be like accepting of every little thing, all of a sudden is more tendency to kind of lash back or be stubborn or hard headed. We had some of those moments, and there's some conflict moments in the book like that. But I do believe that he handled it as well as it could possibly be handled. And playing for your dad for 9 straight years, I mean, it's going to happen. Like, that's just going to happen, or they're not human. It's not a fairy tale, you know? Like, that's going to happen. But we always worked our way through it. And I found, too, that the hardest times that I had as a player, and I would, anyone who's playing for their dad saying, oh, he's hard on me or this and that, the hardest times that I had as a player were the times that I was the least confident. The times that my game wasn't where it needed to be, or I was going through a slump, or my mind wasn't totally right. So if I was like peak performing and playing great and had a clear head, we were, things were going good. So I say, take personal responsibility, you know, quit blaming your dad for how things are going bad and get to work and have some thick skin, know what it is. You know, sometimes dads and sons are going to go after it here and there, get after it here and there and fight. But I mean, leave it in the gym and keep getting better.
That's awesome. And that's the analogies are just, I think it's fantastic. You got two, like you said, two competitive people, two type A personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably surprised it didn't happen more often than it did.
Yeah, for real.
Do you find you're talking about AAU, and I know you said you really didn't play a lot of AAU. Do you find that, in the past few months, we've had a lot of college coaches on here and stuff like that, and we had someone make a great point, which I still use when I'm talking to kids every day, is, you know, or talking to anybody right now, is like right now there are more trainers and skilled people, and, you know, I use the quotations around that, than ever before, and the skill level of the player is lower than it's ever been. And do you, I mean, does some of that blame go to AAU? Does some of that blame go to, which direction does some of that blame go to? Does some of the blame go to parents, kids not working hard? Maybe they don't have, you know, that person, or they have the inner self drive to make that. Now, how have you, like, since you're going to be like involved, you know, in doing some basketball stuff in Chattanooga there, how do you perceive that, or have you noticed anything like that as you've begun that journey?
Yeah, I really started first noticing it too when I was coaching in college. You know, I coached 4 years at Temple with my dad afterwards, so I guess you could say we had 13 straight years together.
That's 13 years.
Yeah, and then moved on to Lee and coached with Tommy Brown for 5 years. And I noticed in the recruiting process, you know, you did a lot of AAU events, a lot of stuff. And I could see that as AAU got bigger and kids kept playing more games, 3 games a day, you know, 4 games a day, all kinds of stuff, that the skill level went down. And, you know, there's a lot of great trainers out there, a lot of great basketball skill coaches out there. There's a lot of great AAU teams out there. I mean, great programs that run it like a college program and have a culture of excellence where they're really inspiring the kids to pursue the best version of themselves. But there's a lot of rackets out there. There's
yes,
a lot of
there
scams.
Is.
There's a lot of money makers. There's a lot of show, you know, these, you know, a bunch of different things where people are making money off, and it's hard. It's like a minefield for the parents. Like, well, this is what everybody says I need to be doing, but I mean, I don't know. And so they end up investing all this money on getting seen or getting exposure, when in reality, when the kid's skill set or their game isn't where it needs to be on a collegiate level,
well, then
all
you're
doing
also
is
getting
exposed.
You know, exposure means, you can look at that both ways. They're getting exposed. Then, yeah, like you said, their skill level is not up to par, so they're getting exposed. And yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're spending all this money for that, you know, for that experience to play in front of all these coaches, and they're watching you, and your skill level's not up to par. Then you're, you know, you're.
Yeah, and I've been the college coach in the stands. I've been the guy crossing names off lists. Then someone asked me a year later, "Hey, what do you think about that guy?" "Oh yeah, I saw him play a year ago. He ain't gonna be good enough. He's not there." You know, and I think we've lost sight of the process of what it takes to be a really good player in basketball. And I can't say it's an underrated skill, because obviously it takes scoring to win basketball games. But shooting ability is the most under-trained skill in the game.
It's sad. I mean, that's why now when you see a kid that can really shoot the ball, I mean, it's almost, you know, it's like seeing a Yeti. You know, it's just like, this kid can really shoot the ball, and it's just like, we're watching basketball. Shouldn't a lot of these kids be able to shoot the ball? You know, I come from Indiana. We could all shoot the ball in the 80s.
And it's funny, too. I mean, like, they don't realize, you know, they see all these flashy moves. They see all these guys playing AAU, but they don't know the process of what it really takes. Like Klay Thompson, for example. Klay Thompson was third team all Orange County his junior year. And he wasn't a third team all state. He was third team all Orange County. Like, he wasn't even, like, on the state radar. Klay Thompson says, "You know what? I'm going to get in the gym. I'm not going to play as much AAU, and I'm going to shoot 1,000 shots a day." Klay Thompson ends up, luckily, obviously, growing a couple inches, going into his senior year, and shoots 1,000 shots a day, and ends up getting his only big offer, Washington State, Pac-12, and then he ends up doing the same thing, keeps doing it, and he's Klay Thompson. Like, they don't see the unseen hours that right. Steph Curry puts into the gym
right.
to be Steph Curry, but they all want to be Steph Curry, and that's right. what I tell kids today. I'm like, hey, look, like, Steph Curry's great for the game and all, and it's nice to be inspired by what he does and his work ethic and everything else, but they're trying to go out there and be Steph Curry in AAU and do all these moves and jump back and shoot NBA threes when they haven't really bought into the process of what it takes to be a Steph Curry. So while he's great for the game, he's really bad for your game. Like,
that's very well put.
I hate the step back jumper, and every kid everywhere, and I can remember actually working on it in the 90s when everything was a crossover. You had to have a crossover. That was the go-to move. Well, now it's a step back jumper. And, you know, back then it was like, why'd you step back? It just made, I mean, you just took a 15-foot jumper and made it an 18-foot jumper. Yeah. Now they do it, and there's no one around. It's just their natural learned behavior, because they only learn while playing. And we used to have a saying, when you're playing, you're only getting worse, because you get tired, and you are degrading your skills as you get tired. And so the core underneath it all, which is what I tell all the kids on my fall league team, is, are you in shape? And the answer is always, yeah. Can you run a 5-minute mile? Well, I don't know. And then the answer is, well, how do you know you're in shape? You know, if you don't measure.
How are you going to be a really good basketball player if you can't, like,
if you can't run up and down the floor?
Yeah.
Like, you can't in a full sprint and have that kind of lung capacity. Like, they don't get it. And the thing is, too, like they don't, they just aren't, like, getting what it, like, everybody wants the gear. They want the fun. They want the result.
They don't want the work. Stuff,
they want the backpack, the sneakers.
Yeah. Yep. The work is what separates the average from the good.
And some of them think they're doing the work.
Well, I think you got a good point. I was reading something about that this week. Was there is a lot of joy in getting better. And when you learn how to get better, and I used to even say this in college to some of the younger guys, when they were like, well, I've been in the gym for an hour and a half working on my game. I'm like, great, I'll show up for 15 minutes and I'll actually get better. You just wasted an hour and a half. Now, if you want to spend some time and I'll show you how to get better, you're using your time, you know, but there is that. I mean, I had a very good relationship with my college coach, and it even, not even being related, but just being close, you have those... You butt heads. When you're both ultra competitive, you butt heads. And type A personalities, it has to be this way. And once a month, he'd kick me out of practice. I'd come back the next day, head cleared, ready to go. But you understood that you both just want to get better, and something's got to give. And the coach always wins.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, think about why in the 90s you said the crossover was the big deal. Why? Allen Iverson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Allen Iverson shows up, and then what follows? And one mixtapes, crossovers, all these cool things. Like, everybody gets all excited. And Allen Iverson, while he was a great player, You want to talk about a Yeti? Allen Iverson was a, Iverson was a Yeti. Now let's, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, they're awesome, but they are one in billions. Like
exactly.
They are.
Yeah.
They're the unicorns. I mean, that's
yeah,
how
I saw
they are. The
Allen
process,
Iverson came to
process.
A charity event in Knoxville not too long ago, and I was standing next to him, and I was like, this is Allen Iverson. I mean, he was like, 5'10", 140 pounds, and I thought, my God. You know, obviously, he was a little bigger and stronger when he played, and it's like, how's this guy scored 25,000 points in the NBA? And it's because he was one full step quicker than any human on the planet.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's
not
normal.
Right. He's once in a lifetime, once in a generation type players, and those are the guys, interesting.
I just wonder, Andre's got his showcase this weekend at Carson Newman, and there's 120 high school kids signed up, and about 20 college coaches will be there. And I wonder how many high school kids are going to be in the gym just working on their ball handling, getting some shots up so they know that they're completely ready come Saturday. If somebody hits me on the wing for a three, it's going in. You know, probably I guess
no,
one.
We have to. What I have to do in those showcases, Josh, is – I make them, like, first game is a three-pass minimum or a post-entry minimum, because if I don't, it's going to be a ridiculous running up and down the floor, taking stupid shots, and nobody wants to see that. I tell them, we're going, first game, we do a post-entry on, I want to see a post-entry in the half court. If there's no post-entry, it's a turnover. If you shoot the ball before the post-entry, it's a turnover. I want to see a post-entry. I don't care if it's a guard. Anybody, I want to see a post up and I want to see a post entry. Doesn't mean they have to shoot, but I want to see a post entry to kind of slow the process just a little bit and just get the game. And then we do like a three pass minimum in the next game, and I know that's kind of Hoosier-ish.
Yeah,
you know, I want four passes before we shoot.
Well, my point would be there's so many metrics that you can measure, such as 1,000 shots a day, or I can run a 5-minute mile, or, you know, my goal was to bench press 250 pounds, you know, by increasing strength in the off season. The things that you can't quantify, such as basketball IQ, Andre mentions this word. I don't know what it means, like heart. I don't even know what that is. But, you know, competitiveness, that's the college coach who's recruiting. That's his job to measure all that. And if you can quantify the known metrics, you know, if you're 6'6", 215, and you can run a 5-minute mile and you shoot 1,000 shots a day, and, you know, you can bench press 250 and you got a 48-inch vertical, you're probably going to get a Division I scholarship.
Yeah. And my dad used to say, if you're 6'5 or over, you got to prove every day that you can't play. But if you're 6'5 or under, you got to prove every day that you can play.
That's very well put.
Yeah,
like you talked about earlier about the transfer rate. You know, the transfer rate in the state of Tennessee for the kids who've signed Division I is at 70%. And I'm blaming coaches for that because they're the ones that are taking these guys that can't play at their level, and size is getting way over recruited, and these kids are in and out. And that's why D2 basketball right now is as good as it is, because you got all these D1 transfers playing in Division II basketball because, you know, they want to play right away. And
why don't kids transfer from Belmont, Andre? Why don't they transfer
because
from Belmont?
They don't transfer from Belmont because
Rick Bird coached at Maryville College.
That play their system, and they get guys that fit their system, and they know what they have a, you know, they have a blueprint of who they want, and this is the guy they want. They got Grayson Murphy coming next year, Caleb Hollander coming next year. These are Nashville area high school kids, and these kids, I mean, you know, from the first day of their freshman year, you were like, there, that's a Belmont kid right there. You know, they've got that.
And there's
that,
always a common denominator with them.
Basketball IQ
skill.
And shooting the ball.
They are skilled. They are ultra skilled. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, Rick Bird does a great job recruiting skilled guys no matter what they look like. He just recruits better basketball players.
Exactly.
It's because he coached at Maryville College.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Nice shout out.
Real quick, you know, we're probably going to have to end this. We've went way longer than we thought we would, but it's been so interesting, man. I've truly, truly enjoyed this. You know, we were talking, like, we played Sunday this week at our fall league games this Sunday. We had about 7 college coaches in the gym. We had a bunch of kids that didn't show up and talking, or, you know, trying to get a hold of some of them. Why weren't you there? Well, we went to the football game Saturday night. And I'm just like, and then like 3 months from now, they're going to be calling me, asking me why no one's recruiting them. What do I need to do to get recruited? And I'm going to say, well, you should have been in the gym when 7 college coaches were there to come watch you play. Yeah. And I don't, you know what, you know, listening to that, when I say that and the experiences that you had, what a, give me your opinion on that.
One of my favorite quotes ever, and I love this as a player, and it was kind of my mantra, do today what others aren't willing to do, so you can do tomorrow what others can't, as Jerry Rice. And
he was pretty good. He was decent.
He was pretty good. He was a decent player, yeah. He's all right. But this is like, what are you doing that everyone else isn't? Everyone wants to be good. Everybody says that, hey, what's your goals? I want to play in the NCAA tournament. Everybody says that. Yeah. Everybody wants to play in the NCAA tournament. My daughters want to play in the NCAA men's tournament. Like, everyone wants to. That doesn't mean – so the difference is, are you training? This is a great, you know, point guard college, they have this, you know, they have this saying that they use. Are you training according to your aspirations? So those are your aspirations. What are you doing that's going to separate you from the crowd? And a lot of times, too, and I'm sure you've seen this at your showcases and in your league, you see guys that'll just, like, freeze up a little bit. Even like when they go, they just freeze. And they're just kind of, like, out of their comfort zone.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They just, like, it's like they weren't even there. And they'll say, hey, Andre, you're supposed to rank them. And like, you're like, man, the kid didn't even do a thing. Like, he just kind of ran up and down the floor, got the ball a couple times. He wasn't assertive. That is a lack of confidence because they have not demonstrated their ability or mastered their skills. You know, like Jerry Myers, I love his spiral of mastery. They haven't done all that stuff, put in the work to master their skills and really have the confidence to be assertive out there and throw themselves into the moment and perform for college coaches. And then your guys that don't show up, in my opinion, you know what? It's better if I don't try than if I actually throw my whole stuff into it and fail. And that's sad. And I see that so much with this generation. I don't know if it's Instagram, buying culture.
Well, there's a great quote that if you, or not a quote, but a coach I had, where if you pop that bubble that they've created for themselves via social media, et cetera, that's the day they transfer. So you do have to be, with these kids, you do have to be you're right. It is a lack of confidence. It's confidence built on a false foundation. One of the quotes, it's very similar to what you were saying, but I tell the Fall League kids, like, hey, when you realize that winning is just doing what the other guy doesn't want to do, and then you come back and you tell me what that really means in detail, that's when you're going to become a complete player. That's when the college coaches are going to start drooling all over you because you're the guy that rebounds. You're the guy that gets loose balls. You're the guy that's in great shape, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to bring to Chattanooga with starting my group is All In Hoops. You know, go all in a relentless pursuit of the best version of yourself. That's our mission.
You know, absolutely, man. I hope we get to stay in touch and definitely, use me as your any resource that you need, man. And we'll just keep you. We're about to close the show, so
yeah.
I want to do something real quick. We want to do a shout out to our John Bailey Company Player of the Week. I want to get that in real quick. John Carter from Summit High School committed to Navy this week.
Yes, I saw
John's
that.
John's a kid that played AAU with Team Corey Brewer. Got him an offer this summer. Had a great summer. Worked his tail off, and one of the guys we've been we talk about here that really changed everything in July and really came to play. And for his reward, he got a scholarship offer from Navy, and he took it. So he's our John Bailey Company Player of the Week, and our Darren Poppin Mortgage Investors Group Coach of the Week. I'm going to go with Halston Lane because Halston's the only undefeated team.
Even after what I pulled off this week?
Yeah, you ain't getting Coach of the Week anymore. So we're going to go with Halston Lane, our Darren Poppin Mortgage Investors Group Coach of the Week. Josh Templeton, thank you so much for staying on with us. It was a great conversation. It's one of the best shows we've ever had, no doubt. Thank you so much, man, for all the info. It was really enlightening, and I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to it. Where can people get your book?
On Amazon, next week it'll be available on Amazon.com and for Kindle. I played for my dad for 9 years and we still talk. It's the process of being the best you can be, what it takes, and getting coached by your pops.
Cool, man. If anybody needs any contact info to get that book, just let me know and I can get you on find Josh on Facebook or I can get you in touch with him and we'll make sure that you can get a copy of this book. So we're going to go ahead and shut this thing down, this Andre Whitehead. Josh Templeton, thank you so much. Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio with Brent Watts, Seth Stokes. Thank you, and we're done.